Half, Whitey, Rammer. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
It's 25 to 7 on the Breakfast Club. The early mail not too far away. After 7, Jack Rewalt joins us in the Callaway Inner Sanctum. Looking forward to catching up with the Tiger champ. Tom Hawkins a part of the program as well after 8 o'clock in the build-up to the country game between the Bombers and the Cats. Looking forward to that. Have your calls through the morning, 1300 652 927 or 0416 90 50 52 via the SMS. So you're getting some feedback too, Whitey, that your 2000 premiership card on eBay is worth $110. That's good. That's good value.
And he can sign it too.
And my 1998 card is worth 10. That's not fantastic. I reckon the Greg Chalmers card would be worth plenty on eBay because he is a fantastic golfer. And this week he's getting ready for the fifth major, the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. And he's been good enough to join us the day before on the program on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Greg.
Yeah, morning, guys. I reckon you get about $5 for my card. Wish you all the best for that.
I don't know, mate. I reckon there's a bit more in the tank for you because you've been an outstanding career and, of course, a big opportunity this week at Sawgrass. How are you feeling leading into the event?
To be honest, I wish I could tell you I was just feeling fantastic, but my back's been bothering me this week. Preparation hasn't been what I would like it to be. But on the positive side, I played beautifully in the practice rounds last week and terribly in the tournament. So here's hoping that flips this week. Everything apart from that, we've got a ton of money to play for, and the golf course is just beautiful. It's like carpet out there at the moment. So it's going to be a good week, hopefully.
We all know the golf course, Greg, because we were talking about this during the ad break. We all played computer golf growing up, and we would play at TPC Sawgrass. So it's like we know the course back to front. To play it with all that water, how difficult is it?
It's very difficult because the way it's designed is that the best angles to all the pins, particularly when the greens are firm, is from the tight side, so the side where the most trouble is off the tee. So he does a great job of really pushing your buttons visually, like making you really worried, even though the targets might be big enough. It looks nasty, like 17 is a great example. It looks so nasty but it's a wedge to a green that's big enough to hit. It's just that it's the consequences for hitting it offline are very damaging. So, yeah, you can waste a lot of money here in the last couple of holes, and that's what they try and do. It's really taxing on your nerves, and so the guy who wins this week's going to have to handle a lot and have a complete game.
So take us into the mind of a professional golfer when you get to that famous 17th, yeah, the Island Green. When you are walking from 16 green to 17 tee, do you get anxious? Do you get nervous knowing the consequences? Or as a professional golfer, the expectation is I'll hit it on the green and I don't think too much about it?
I think people think that we're bulletproof, but we're no different. You know, we just know how to handle the anxious and the nervous better than a lot of people do. So you got to try and not let that train run away before it gets too far down the tracks. And so, yeah, it depends what type of person you are and how well you're doing in the tournament sometimes, situational thing. Like, if you're 10 over par, you're not going to get two hoots. But if you are, you know, doing well, you're definitely going to be, it's going to be on your mind. And I like to sort of, when I'm going down 16, just kind of look across, see which way the wind's blowing, because it kind of can be a little funky through that area, see where the flag's moving, and kind of, and then kind of leave it alone and finish 16 out. And then it's a nasty little walk across to 17, and then you've got to deal with that shot. And I think a lot of guys struggle with not just the side-to-side miss, but the long miss is very popular. So it's a kind of in-between clubs for some guys, and that's even harder sometimes. So it gets in your head, and then 18's no snack either. That's a, you know, 3-wood off the tee or a driver with all water down the left. So, yeah, they all get your attention, and you've got to be able to handle the nerves and the pressure of it, or you won't succeed.
I was thinking about the iconic holes in golf this morning, Greg, in preparation for our chat. And when you mentioned the wind on 17, I immediately thought of 12 at Augusta for the Masters, where they reckon the wind can change in 10 seconds and totally change the hole. Is that what happens on the Island hole at Sawgrass, or have you got a bit more consistency with the weather there?
A little bit better, because they also, there's a couple of little things. Like, they have this massive crane that's in the background in a TV compound that you can see, and that usually has a big flag hanging off it.
Yep.
And that's like 300 yards behind the green. So you can get an idea of what's going on upstairs It's just judging the distance control, because when the greens are firm, if you want to keep it on the top level, you've got to land it kind of on the top in the first 3 to 5 yards of that, which if you land it sort of 7 to 8 yards, you're probably going to hop over the back. So you only have 3 or 4 yards to play with to keep it on that top level.
That's not much.
It's not a lot.
Yeah, Greg, talking about iconic holes, and obviously the 17th is the iconic hole, do you ever take a moment just to say to yourself, how cool is this? Or furthermore to that, have you ever sort of taken a selfie at one of those holes?
Yeah, we were just talking about this today. I'm not a big selfie. I'll take a picture of the hole, but I really struggle to hold a camera up with myself in it and think it looks good.
That's what you got the caddy for.
I don't do that with a lot of confidence. But I'll take a picture of some holes and put it out there if I feel the urge. But everyone's seen these. I would say in early days in my career, I probably didn't appreciate how cool it is. Now at 43, going 44 here this year, I do. This event has, in my sort of 17 years over here, this event's just grown and grown and grown. You can see that in the stands. And the people that were there just yesterday in the practice round, I mean, the hole was half covered in people yesterday. So it'll be manic as the week goes on. And I almost partly wish I could just go there with some buddies, sit there with a few beers and bet on guys missing the green or whatever. There's some people having some fun there, and good on them.
So take us through your own form. You said you're hitting the ball really well in practice, but not so much in tournament play. What changes over the next 4 days for you, Greg?
Well, that was last week. This week I've hit it poorly kind of leading up. I've just been diagnosed with a little arthritis in my back, and that's been playing up on me. I've been trying to get some good drugs into me to fix that, some anti-inflammatory.
You can speak to Adam White about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not conducive to good golf when your back doesn't move. my game has been, in the last sort of 2 months, my record isn't real great. Not far away. I've missed five cuts by one shot this year, which on the PGA Tour is four shots away from really good, and two from, we can go to the weekend and see what happens. So I think there's always something just not quite right. So you need to have it all clicking this week. So much is going to depend on, how the week unfolds in the first sort of 6 to 9 holes tomorrow. And I'm a momentum player. If I can get a little momentum and make a few putts and see some good things happen, then off we go. So I'll be fine if that happens. If that doesn't happen, then welcome to golf, and we'll go on to next week.
Greg Chalmers has joined us on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927, getting ready for the Players' Championship at Sawgrass tomorrow. Our time. Talking about that, I mean, you talk to athletes in different sports across the globe, Greg, international or domestic, and they say leading into a competition or an event, they need to be clear in their mind. When you've got that lingering back issue hovering in your mind, how difficult is it to stay focused and not use that as a bit of a crutch sometimes?
Oh, look, I would say this. If I'm good enough warming up and I feel like I'm okay, then it's not a crutch at all. I probably just have to put a lot more love into preparation prior. So they have two big trucks here full of chiros and physios, and I'll go in there probably for an hour prior to the hour of hitting balls. Luckily, it's hot this week. Usually adrenaline helps, so practice rounds are tough, but tournament, I get a little adrenaline going and things feel a lot better. So I wouldn't use that at all. If I couldn't play, I just wouldn't play. If I thought I was just going to struggle. So, but it's just annoying because I can't do what I used to do preparation. I used to be able to putt for a couple of hours and hit balls for a few hours, and now 30 minutes of putting and my back's sort of saying, what are you doing? And a couple of hours of balls, ball hitting, and I'm done. So that's tough at this level sometimes because I get my confidence from digging a hole in the ground with my clubs. So it can be difficult to walk away from a day going, okay, I'm ready. So I've got to adjust and figure out new ways as I've gotten older to take confidence into tomorrow.
Greg, I want to take you back to one of the things you said earlier about when you're on the range, you know you're not hitting the ball as well as you could. Now, to us that'll hit the ball left and right and all sorts of different things, that's hitting the ball poorly. But for you, what are the indications you know you're not hitting the ball as well?
Yeah, about the same. I'm looking for different ball flights, a consistent ball flight with a driver particularly. So we've got all these things with TrackMan now. And like, give you an example, I went on TrackMan today just to check. My angle of attack was down 1 degree and 2 degrees to the right. And after 30 minutes on TrackMan, I had it up 1.5 to 2 degrees and a degree to the left, which for a lefty is a draw ball flight. And so that's what I wanted. And so that feel is something I can tap into and use tomorrow. So the technology really helps you there. And with the irons, so much just comes down to how well you contact the ball, so you have a nice clean contact or crisp contact, taking a good divot, and squash compressing the ball so you get consistent distance control, because that's going to be huge this week.
Because that is actually what I was going to ask you. Because it's not as simple as saying, I'm hitting the ball well because I'm hitting my 7-iron 165 metres usually, but now it's back to 155. It's more on a feel thing with your swing plane and how you're actually making contact with the ball.
Yes, no doubt, because if you want a 7-iron to land 100 and, you know, consistently 160 yards and then you pick one clean and hit it a group down that lands 100, you know, 52, well, that could be in the front bunker buried in the face.
Yep.
So you have to have consistent contact. You need to know that when I strike this thing, it's going to go as far as I need it to carry, regardless of left or right, because missing your target long or short through poor contact, and also combined with offline, is way worse usually than missing it left or right with good contact.
Now, there's a number of other Aussies in the field, Greg. Obviously, Jason Day, a past winner. What does it suit any of our other guys, any of our other Aussies this course?
Oh, look, usually it suits the guys who are really good. so, you can't go too far past Jace, Adam Scott. I think Mark Leishman's been playing beautifully with the Archery's winning Bay Hill. So much is going to depend on, you know, how well guys chip and putt now. They've shaved a lot of the banks, and there's a lot more runoff. Even though they've cut down on the banks, they've got rid of some rough and shaved things. So it's going to be more shots along the ground, I think, than so much lifting it up in the air out of thick rough. So it's going to be challenging. But, yeah, look for... it's so hard to pick winners in golf, so... But it's hard to go past guys who are some of the best players in the world.
It is spoken about as the fifth major. Is it a different build-up to other events on the tour, obviously other majors aside?
It's not for me, because this is the fifth major. For the guys who play every major, I'm sure they'd look at it as, you know, a really, really big tournament. But I look at it as another major. And the feel you have here, it's the strongest field in golf, certainly from a world ranking standpoint. And the feel you have here, to me, is what the PGA Tour exactly want, which is, this is a major championship. And if you look at the quality of what we're playing against, all the strongest players in the world are here, bar I think two in the top 50. So it's a fantastic field, and that's what you're after.
Greg, you've talked about the body issues you've got, but just from a mental point of view, winning last year and the exemption that comes with that, and the freedom of mind to sort of pick and choose your tournaments, how good is that now, sort of 8-9 months down the track, just the way you live your life, knowing that that's the case?
It's been really nice, because I haven't performed how I would like, but the stress level of that pressure that you normally have hasn't been anywhere near as strong, and it's kind of that's got to be balanced against, you're a competitor and you're continually always like, man, I just want to play better than this garbage. So it's, you know, you never like serving up rubbish, but it's a comfort to know, you know what, I got to do this year and I've got next year as well. So that's comforting, and a little less stress on the brain than I've never had that before. So I've never had job security in my profession at this kind of level. So that's been very nice.
So, Greg, just one last one from me with the back and the arthritis in there. What does that mean for future golf for you? You're still only young. You're still only in your 40s playing golf, so you've still got plenty of more tournaments in you. But what does that mean for the future for you?
I guess the answer to that is I got to take it one step at a time here. I had some jabs in the back a few weeks ago, and I got six needles sort of knocked out, and they put six needles into three different joints, on two on each side, and that lasted a month. Now, they can do a couple other things with medication. They can cauterize a nerve that sends a pain signal. I got a few things to look at before I, you know, do anything super drastic, but and that's aside from I'm taking some anti-inflammatories, and I haven't really adjusted, you know, not to get too much in, I haven't really adjusted the dosing on that or anything. So there's some stuff going on to keep sort of putting your fingers in the holes in the boat, you know. So I'm trying to look after myself, get the maximum out of my body I can, and I'm looking forward to, you know, getting some good news here and fixing this, or at least get a couple of years or a few more years out of this body, and the more the merrier, you know.
Well, we wish you all the best this week. We hope you get all the fingers and all the holes you need to fill through the week there at TPC Sawgrass, and looking forward to a big showing from you this week. It's been great to chat, Greg. Really insightful. We wish you the best of luck. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day today.